Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Pekudei, 15th of February, I think it is.
Fine March, maybe.
Boss? Could be fine. Yeah, it could be March. So, so our limud of Chofetz Chaim every day is L'schus Refuah Shleima for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla B'soch Shor Choyli Yisrael. So we did the last couple of days. We did one day on committee meetings and one day on shiurim, comments on shiurim. Today the title of the chapter, which is we're now in Hilchos Lashon Hara Klal Gimel, is misconceptions. So obviously the first misconception that the Chofetz Chaim always speaks about is that people think that when it's true it's not Lashon Hara. Okay, that one we know. Now he says the next one is that a person might say something like, it's not Lashon Hara, I'm speaking about, let's say Reuven is speaking about Shimon, Reuven says it's not Lashon Hara because I'd be quite happy to say about Shimon in front of Shimon. I'd be just as happy, you know, he can hear what I'm saying, I've got nothing to hide, etc. And therefore, people think that therefore there's no Lashon Hara involved. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if you speak Lashon Hara when he's not present, then it's Lashon Hara. If you speak Lashon Hara about him in front of his face, then you've got a whole lot of other things that you've got a problem with. In other words, it's even worse. You've got Oinoas Devorim, you've got Busha, you've got the fact that you are brazen, that you have bad midas, etc., etc. The Chofetz Chaim says there's a list of other problems which make it even worse if you say it in front of him. But if you don't say it in front of him, but you say it Shaloi Befonov, then that's still called Lashon Hara. You're still, at the bottom line is, you are speaking something bad about somebody, whether or not it's in his presence or not in his presence. If it's not in his presence, Stam Lashon Hara. If it's in his presence, then there are other things which make it even worse besides Lashon Hara. See, that either Gemara says that if you say Lashon Hara, Gemara Chulin says that if you say Lashon Hara in front of somebody, Ein Boy Mishum Lishne Bisha, said, how do you understand that? So the Chofetz Chaim says, it's very simple. He says, if it's something that could be interpreted two ways, and we've had this concept before, it's something that could be understood in two different ways, and you meant it in the good way, and you said it in a good way, and it can be interpreted in a good way, then even though somebody else might hear it, and might want to interpret it differently, nevertheless, you're allowed to say it. Why? Because you say, I'd be quite happy to say it in front of him. Why? Because when he hears it from me, he will understand that it's not Lashon Hara. The way that I'll give you an example. Last Shabbos, Parsha Shkolim. Okay? So we had a Baal Tefillah who davened Musaf for Parsha Shkolim. And you've got the extra bits and pieces that we say during Parsha Shkolim. So after davening, Reuven went up to Shimon and he said, got this gremlin in my throat, I'm sorry. So Reuven goes up to Shimon and says, oh, Lekuvet Pasha Shkolim, they sent us a really good Baal Tefillah today. Now, how do you understand that? Was he being sarcastic? And he was saying, so Lekuvet Pasha Shkolim, we ended up with somebody who had Yotzeit, and therefore he struggled with the Nusach and all the Yotzrus, etc., etc. He couldn't say the words, it was a bit of a mess, yeah? Or did he mean to say, as a compliment, yeah, the Lichvoit Pasha Shkolim, the Gabba thought about it and decided to send us a good Baal Tefillah, Lichvoit Pasha Shkolim. So it could be interpreted in two ways. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if the person who is speaking that Lashon Hara, if you call it Lashon Hara, yeah, obviously it depends how he says it. It depends whether or not he rolls his eyes when he says, you know, we had a really good Baal Tefillah sort of thing. And you can really tell from the way he's speaking that he doesn't really mean it sincerely. But he says that if he says then, but I'd be quite happy to say this right in front of the Baal Tefillah to his face, that today the Gabba sent us a really good Baal Tefillah. Shkoyach for your davening. So he says, if he says I would be prepared to say it in front of him, and it is something that could be interpreted in two ways, and he wouldn't be so brazen as to say, to insult the person to his face, that he didn't daven well, then it's not called Lashon Hara.
be a third way. Same like the guy last week was terrible.
Yeah.
Was? I mean, the guy last week was terrible. We got yeah. one this week, which means a long time. Last
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
So that's three ways of looking at it.
So I'm not quite sure what you're saying.
You say we had a really good bounce for this today.
This week,
and
yeah.
last week had a terrible one.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, Ronnie's suggesting, yeah. It's like my wife gets very insulted, yeah. If on a Friday night we have guests, yeah. If you say something along the lines of, and she puts on a nice spread, you know, because we've got guests, so you get two types of vegetables or two types of meats and two types of this and that and the other, etc. Look over the guests, yeah. And you say to her, oh, this week you really laid on a really nice spread tonight, Friday night. Yeah, which is mashmah, like you're only saying, yeah. But on a regular Shabbos, we don't get treated like this. It's only because I've got guests that I got myself a decent meal tonight. And if it wasn't for the guests, then I wouldn't have had a decent meal. So that's Ronnie's idea, that maybe if you say this week we had a really good Baal Tefillah, it's mashmah that last week's Baal Tefillah wasn't very good. I don't know. I don't know about that. But what the Chofetz Chaim says is that the heter of saying that I would have said it in front of him to his face is only where it could be interpreted for the good, and therefore the person who was listening to it would understand that you weren't insulting him.
Started the Hotelway in Northwest London, Friday, Hey Ador Sheni, 15th of March, Rain Rav of David Tugendhat Peter, Adley Yodan, Hogas Hayichu. This week's Hotelway is sponsored by Family Roth. This was Hefosin Simcha Ben Chayda Verena Yoreva Kala Esther Hamabat Rochus Tipia. This chapter took place on Wednesday. Yiskul in Nurse Vice, and Mongi Sobakesh, Shaker, and Vinyana Dayan. This first has Shivuim, Vahayarem, Vamil Chomor, Shiach, Zul, Vatayim, Vishalom, Vim Heiro.
Amen.
Shalom Uvracha. Lovely to see you all. A question that surely is on everybody's minds is the question of what we are told in Siman Tov Reish Tzadi Hei, Chayv Inish Lebesumi Ad LeYoda, that there's an inyan obligation apparently Lebesumi to get intoxicated on Purim Ad LeYoda till you lose your das, till you don't know the difference between Orah Homon Baruch Mordechai. Question number one, surely the most important thing is Adas. Adas is so vital. This is the very first thing we daven for in every single weekday Shemayna Esra, Atochin and Adam Das. And yet, this most precious commodity is something that we are supposed to lose on Purim. Now, we know the Poshup Shat is literally to get drunk. The Ramoh brings over there that there are those who say you should just drink a little bit more than normal and then feel tired and go to sleep. But either way around, you're losing your das. Surely this is not a Jewish idea. Question number two. It says, V'zichrom lo Yosef Mizarom, the Alkid Shemoni or Mishle says that in the future all Yomim Tovim will be abolished, except for Purim, whatever that means. But in some way, Purim remains where all of the other Yomim Tovim don't. Question number two, why is that? And question number three, if you would ask me to give a name to the Yom Tov of Purim, I might call it something like Chag HaHashgacha, or how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really looking after us even when it looks like he isn't. But I certainly wouldn't have given it the name Lot, Purim, Al Shem HaPur, the Goyrol. Why is this so central to Purim? Yes, Homon, he cast lots to see what would be the auspicious day to kill the Jews, and he was wrong. But why is this so core and crucial to Purim? I'd like to start trying to understand these ideas by going through possibly one of the most astonishing Gemaras in Gantz Shas, Chagig or Daf Dalet Omud Beis. And it was a Gemara, when I first saw this Gemara, and I was giving shir in this Gemara, I thought, my goodness, how on earth can we possibly understand this Gemara? And I delved a little bit into this Gemara, B'siyata Dishmaya, and I discovered great secrets that I'd like to share with you that I think shed light on Purim in general and on our whole understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. That's how crucial these ideas are. Let's look at this Gemara. in Chagigo Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Astonishing, astonishing Gemara. The Gemara says, Rav Yosef Kimoti Lahikro Bochi. There was a pasuk that when Rav Yosef would get to, he would cry. It's a pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yud Gimel. V'yesh Nispo B'loy Mishpot. There are those who are gathered away, who are killed, who die unjustly, without justice. There are those who just die, and it's not fair. Omar mi'ikad da'ozol b'loy zamane. He said, is it true that there are people who die when it's not their right time? In, says the Gemara, yes. People can die before their allotted time. Kihodar of Bibi Barabaya, like we find in this fascinating episode with Rav Bibi, the son of the great Abaya, have a shchiach gabei malachamoves. You know, different people have different friends, speak to different people. Who would Rav Bibi Barabaya speak with? The malachamoves. The malachamoves and Rav Bibi Barabaya would discuss things. Omar le l'shluchei. The Malachamoves one day said to his agent, Zil Aisili Miriam Magadla Seir Nashaya. Her time is up. Bring me Miriam the hairdresser. Now, the name for the hairdresser is Magadla Seir Nashaya. Magadla is the one who braids the hair of a woman. Magadla is when you make something bigger, you enlarge it. She's Magadla Seir Nashaya. She's Miriam the hair. Bring me Miriam the hairdresser. Her time is up. Ozal Aisile Miriam Magadla Daradaki. You know, sometimes you just can't get the staff. What did the attendant do? He got the wrong Miriam. Instead of getting Miriam the hairdresser, Magadla Seir Nashaya, the Shliach got Magadla Miriam Magadla Daradaki. Miriam, who reared the children. Miriam, the nursery teacher. He got the wrong Miriam. Omar le, ana Miriam Magadla Seir Nashaya. Omri loch. I told you the other Miriam. Miriam the hairdresser. That's the one whose time is up. Why are you bringing me Miriam the nursery teacher? Omar le, ihochi adra. Okay, Malachamoves, said his shliach. I'll put her back. Let's put her back. So, look, now that she's here, she'll be one of the quota. But I have to ask you, how did you manage to get her when her time wasn't up? Havas Nikita, Misara Biyoda, Vahavas Koshraga, Umachira Tanura. Sholkas shoklosa va'anchosa agaba dekara kodcha v'isra mazola va'isisa. She was clearing out the oven, she was sweeping it. There were some flaming embers. One of them fell on her foot. At the time this flaming coal fell on her foot, her mazel dropped. She was exposed, and I was able to take her life away and to bring her here. So that's what the Malachamoves told Rav Bibi Bar Abaya. Omale Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, is the Chushrusel a Mebad Hochi? Excuse me, is that allowed? Is that allowed to take someone whose time is not up? Omale Vereksiv Yesh Nispo Beloy Mishpot. The Malachamoves knew his Mishle. The Malachamoves says, look, says in Mishle, Yesh Nispo Beloy Mishpot. There are those who are gathered away without Mishpot, unjustly. There are those who die, and it's not fair. And it is without justice. Omar le, so Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaya said, well, 1 minute, there's a poskin keheles. Voksiv dor heilech v'dor bo. Surely there's an allotted time for everybody, and one generation doesn't go until the generation preceding it, their time has come. So Omar, darina lehu, ano adamolu le, ledoro, v'hada mashlimno le, ledumo. He says, okay, but you know what? I put her in a holding place. Yeah, I put the neshama in storage until the right time has come. And then I give the neshama over to the malach who's in charge of the afterlife. And that's what I do. Amalei Seif Shinei my Ovdus. But okay, but what do you do with those years that she was supposed to live? Amari Ikat Surva Me Rabbonon, the Mavir Bamile, Mesifna Luhula. Mesifna Luhule. Vavichilufa. I give those years to a budding Talmud Chacham who is easygoing and forgiving to those who insult him. Azoi state a Mesechta Chagiga, one of Daf Dalad Omid Beis, top of Daf Hei Omid Aleph. One of the most difficult Gemaras, but it gets worse. Because who was this Miriam Megadlo Seir Neshayo? Who was the Miriam that got away? Says Tosfos at the bottom of the Mamish Ofenot, the bottom of Dalad Omid Beis. The high uvda the Miriam Megadlo Neshaya, Babayis Sheini Hava, Doisa Imo Shel Pliny. She was the mother of the unmentionable one. Of so and so. Kedisa B'Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalad. She was the mother of Oisei Ha'ish. She was the mother of the founder of a very, very numerous world religion that would go on to crucify Jews, Holocaust, auto da fes, a tremendous amount of suffering because the Malach HaMoves got the wrong one. The wrong Miriam was killed. The Miriam who should have died was allowed to live and have a son that would cause a great deal of Agmas Nefesh to the Jewish people. Bring a great deal of Avodah Zorah and Sheker into the world. Why? Yesh Nispot B'lo Mishpot, because there are those who are gathered away and it's unjust. How on earth are we, Ma'aminim B'nei Ma'aminim, people who believe in Hashgacha Pratis, able to understand this very, very difficult Gemara? So, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Masifta Gemara. At the back of the Masifta Gemara, there's a section called Kaftov Aferach. And I looked all over trying to find Meforeshim on this. And the only thing I could really find is the most astonishing Yismach Moshe at the back of the Masifta Gemara. And I'd like to elaborate, B'siyata Dishmaya, what the Yismach Moshe explains. The Yismach Moshe explains an idea which is really can be seen clearer in the Sefer by the Ramchal Das Tavunas. In Das Tavunas, Perek Gimel, Chelek Gimel, and Perek Tes, Chelek Gimel. And the Das Tavunas there explains to us, to the extent that we can understand it, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And he tells us tremendous Yesodus, which Be'ezat Hashem we can use to try and understand what's going on in Purim. He says that Hashem runs the world with two things, Hanhogas HaMishpot and Hanhogas HaYichud. These are two tracks that Hashem uses to run the world. Hanhogas HaMishpot, if I can explain it like this, is the way an accountant would run the world. There are checks and balances, there are actions and reactions, there are ramifications. Everything is Eileh Pekudei HaMishkan, everything is with a calculation. Everything makes sense. What goes around comes around. People do good, they get good. They do bad, they have to suffer the consequences. That is Hanhogas HaMishpot. And that makes sense. However, if you imagine a river that has an undercurrent that you can't see, but is an undercurrent, a very powerful current that pulls things along without you really noticing. This is a different way, a different track of how Hashem runs the world, called Hanhogas HaYichud. Hanhogas HaYichud is that Hashem is bringing the world to an end point. There is a destiny. And that destiny is Achris HaYomim, is Moshiach, is Tachiyas HaMesim, is Olam Haba. Hashem has a plan, a divine master plan. And Hashem is bringing the world to that destination. But we can't actually see it whilst it's happening. And this is Hanhogas HaYichud. The Maharal says that if we look at how the Bnei Yisrael ended up in Mitzrayim, It looks as though it's because Yosef spoke badly about his brothers. Maybe if we go further back, it's because Avraham said Bamor Eda, and he questioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's on Hogas HaMishpot. But really, even if Avraham Avinu wouldn't have said that, and even if Yosef wouldn't have interacted with his brothers the way that he did, Hashem needed to bring them, so to speak, to Mitzrayim. There had to be a tremendous giloy of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was going to happen, like it or not, ready or not. Whatever you do, it's going to happen. So we see the events that are taking place on Hogas HaMishpot. We see things, we see prompts, we see reactions, causes and ramifications, but really there's an undercurrent that's bringing the world to a certain place. Almost as though there's a program running in the background. A program running in the background that you can't see. You know, sometimes you go to a simcha. In the olden days, they'd have a bit of music. Now there could be a magician, and the magician is doing all these wonderful card tricks. And he says, pick a card. And you pick a card, he says, keep an eye on it. And you've got your eye on this card. And then he shuffles the pack, and then he mixes them, and then he shuffles them again. And then he says, take off your couple. And under your couple is the card that you picked all along, and you don't know how he got it there. But somehow, whatever you were doing, he was leading you to that point where you'd find the card underneath your couple. Whatever it is, however you would have mixed the pack, shuffled the pack, whatever it is that you're doing, because there's some undercurrent that's leading you there that you can't see. But when you get there, suddenly, wow. That is what the Ramchal says. Omar Asechel Shtei Midas Shom HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Nahig Bomes Olomoy Achas Midas HaMishpot V'Achas Midas HaShlita V'Mishola HaYechidis. The Ramchal speaks about these things, and it seems as though they're disconnected, but really they are very, very much connected. But you can't really see what's going on in Anhogas HaYichud till you get to the end. Says the Heilige Yismach Moshe Zuchus Yogan Olenu, that this is what's happening in our Gemara in Chagiga. You see, Hanhogas HaYichud is so high that even the Malochim don't know about what's going on. The Ramchal says even the Nevi'im don't know what's going on. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how exactly this current is leading things to its ultimate goal and destination. And therefore, listen carefully, Yesh Nispot Beloy Mishpot. There are people who are killed, and it seems to be there's no Mishpot over here. There's no Mishpot. It doesn't make sense. But that's because it's not Hanhogas HaMishpot. There's a higher Hanhoga that is taking place over here. There are deeper things that are happening than meet the eye. And it is Beloy Mishpot. And only Hashem knows why it had to be that there should be this evil that should be allowed to manifest itself in the world and look like it'll be a huge, huge power until that time comes at the end of days. And everybody realizes, yes, Klal Yisrael was right after all. Moshe emes v'seirose emes. Hashem echod v'shmoy echod. V'yedak ol pol kuyato pa'altoy. Everybody will know. But there's a whole plan how we're going to get there. And according to Mishpat, it doesn't make sense why Miriam Megadlo, Seyar Neshaya, Mary the hairdresser, was allowed to stay alive, whereas Miriam Megadlo Dardaki, Miriam the nursery teacher, was instead killed. And that's below Mishpat. That's without being able to be seen with Anhogas HaMishpat, because it's really Anhogas HaYichud. When I saw that Yismach Moshe, and it helped me to understand these ideas and saw what's going on a little bit in Das Tavunas, it made me think, maybe we can see this in the Yom Tov of Purim. You see, at the end of every davening, we really speak about Hanhogas HaYichud. We speak about that end game at the end. Thank you. At the end of every davening, we always finish off every tefillah with Oleinu Leshabeach. What is Oleinu teaching us? Oleini was telling us that there will be a time that everybody will know Hashem Hu Elokim Bashmayim Mimal Loretz Metochas Einoid, and we yearn and we wait. Liris Mehera Basiferes Uzech Olahavri Gululim In Horetz. We want that all of the Ra, all of the Avodah Zarah, all of the Sheker should be eradicated. L'sakin olam b'malchus shakai v'chol b'nei voso yikru v'shmecho. Everybody will know, yakir v'yedu kol yeshvei sevel, that you are the only one to bow down to. B'lechvoid shemcho yikor yitenu. And everybody will give this yikor, v'yikab l'chulam es oil malchus secho. At the end of every davening, we speak about the end game, this destiny, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us towards. Maybe at the end of every year, we also speak about this end game. Nisan is Rosh HaChodoshim. Adar is the end of the year. The end of the year gives us a Yom Tov, which teaches us about the end of time. This Hanogas HaYichud, when suddenly everything makes sense, is what we see in the episode of the Megillah. Everything was going horribly wrong. All of the people who we thought we could rely on seemed as though they were working against our interests. Mordechai seemed to be doing things that everybody else was upset about. Esther seemed to have forsaken us. Keili, keili, loma azavtoni. We can't see Shema Avoya anywhere in the Megillah. And at the end, suddenly it flips. V'nafeichu, and we realize all along HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been looking after us. And suddenly there's a revelation of Anhogas HaYichud. I was bringing you to this point all along. And all of these disparate, apparently unrelated events that were happening all the way through the Prokim of the Megillah suddenly come together in the most beautiful, beautiful revelation that HaKadosh Baruch was really with us all along. And this is a hashkocha of the Anhogas HaYichud. So, doesn't it then make sense why it is Ad Lo Yoda that on the day of Purim we realize and appreciate that the world that we live in, which is Anhogas HaMishpat, which we think we understand the checks and the balances, we realize that actually we know nothing. And actually what seems to us to make sense and how events appear to be connected and related, we know nothing. We think we know Baruch Mordechai, we think we know Orahomon, we think we can use our Da'as, and the whole way through the year we try our hardest to use our Da'as. But there's one day of the year when we realize there's a higher Da'as, and we leave behind the lower Da'as, which is an awareness of how we think things make sense on Hogas HaMishpat, and we realize that there's a much higher Da'as which is beyond us. And therefore, this is a day when we realize the limitations of our own understanding, of our understanding of Mishpat, of our understanding of what things are good for us and what things are bad for us. And therefore it's a day that we connect to Ad Lo Yoda, and we use the wine to bring us to Ad Lo Yoda. And if Purim is a Yom Tov, which is really an inkling of what life will be like in the future when we have this revelation, that's why Purim will be the only Yom Tov that remains, because it's a whole Yom Tov associated with the La'osid lavay, the Achris Hayomim. And this is why it is revolving around things that seem random, that seem to be that there's absolutely no mishpot in a lottery. In a lottery, it's not like you're weighing up option A versus option B. It all seems random. And this is really what we understand when we get to Anhogas HaYichud. All of those apparently random events, what seemed like it was completely random, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really running the show the whole way along. We'll take it with one extra point over here. There's Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Tes. And it says, the Sar in Olam Haba, we have no inkling of how incredible it will be in Olam Haba. And it's called Yayin HaMashumar Ba'anovim. It's called wine that is guarded or hidden inside the grapes. And it says, this is going to be the Spitz Sar in Olam Haba, the Yayin HaMashumar Ba'anovim, this wine which is still hidden or protected inside the grapes. And this is the Schar Olam Haba. Why is it that the Schar Olam Haba is compared to wine? So the Sefer Ikrim discusses this. And the Sefer Ikrim says as follows. He says, imagine you have a man who has a vineyard, but he doesn't know that you can actually make wine out of grapes. He just knows you can eat grapes like a fruit, like an apple, like an orange. And he knows his grapes, and he's been working his whole life on the vineyard, and he sees the different types of grapes, the different varieties, the different sizes, and he knows his grapes. And after decades and decades of working with the grapes, somebody gives him an alcoholic beverage where these grapes have actually been made into wine. And he drinks this wine, and he's feeling basumi, he's feeling uplifted, he's feeling intoxicated, and he says, I can't believe it, I can't believe this. These grapes have been in front of me all along, and I never knew that you could do this with them. I only knew about one track. I only knew how you could eat them as a food. I never knew there was a completely different track that was inside there all along that I never ever noticed. So says the Sefer Ikrim, will be the Schar in Olam Haba, Yayin HaMashume Ba'anovim. There'll be such tremendous, elevated Hano'o and Oynog of being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it will seem as though everything we've seen beforehand is just completely different, something of a completely different level. So over here in Purim, why is it that we reach this level of leaving our da'as, according to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, the simple learning of the Gemara, chai v'nish lebesume, by having wine, because wine is really an inkling, this yayin hamashumar ba'anovim is really an inkling of how there's a completely different track that is present that we never ever noticed. And this is really what Purim's about, and this is really how we go about losing our da'as, by appreciating that there's actually something, a much higher da'as that we were completely unaware of, which we are being led to, which ultimately will be revealed. Lo'osid lovoy. And I think this is the idea of Ad lo yoda, and this is something that should give us a great deal of chizuk as we go through life. There are many things in life that we understand. There are many things in life that we just can't understand at all. And it's those things that seem, apparently, to make no sense to us. Miriam Megadla, Sarah Nashaya, and Miriam Megadla, Daradaki, Imay Shal Ploini. All of these things that seem to make no sense to us. We are Maminim B'nai Maminim, as we started off with, that this is all part of Hashem's great master plan. This is all part of Anhogas HaYichud. And ultimately, that card will come out from underneath the couple, so to speak. And ultimately, we'll see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Hanhoga, and how he's brought us to where he's brought us. This is true with the Klal. This is true if we hold on in the Prat as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, but Ezra Hashem, that we should reach that day, just like there was a Mapola of Homon, and it happened so quickly, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring down all the Ra, especially right now, everything that's going on in Eretz Yisrael, he should bring back, he should be Matir Asurim, he should bring back the Yiddish hostages, and should bring Geulis and Yeshuis, just as he did back then, and we should be Zecher to the ultimate Geula, where we should all be dancing together, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, with the Bini Beis HaMikdash, B'mehrav Yomeinu, Amen.
Amen.
Okay, there's something to spice the Shabbos table with, because Pikude wasn't an easy one, but I did look. And numbers. So, you know, I'll give you something on numbers, okay? You know that Eile Pikide Mishkan Mishkanu Aydis, we got twice Mishkan, famous Chazal, that there was a collateral, something that was taken by the Rebbein Shleulam for the Yidden, so to speak. You know, when you go to Balchov, so Balchov is O's, and Klal Yisrael O to the Rebbein Shleulam, but the Rebbein Shleulam took that collateral. On the basis of that, they have this famous story where a poor man used to have a chevim with a gevir, and he used to take money from him consistently, and the gevir says to him, you know what, you're borrowing, isn't it about time you gave me some sort of of backing against it, some collateral. So he brought him in this silver watch that was his prized possession. And then he came back about a few months later. He says, maybe I can take some more money on the back of that. So he gave him again. It happened about two or three times. Then the Gevir says to him, you know what? Just because you gave me this flimsy silver watch, does that entitle you to keep on taking and taking and taking? He says, as long as I've got a mashkin by you, I can carry on borrowing because I'm connected to you. So the Bein Shalem, we say to him also, you took away the Besmigdish, so we've got a mashkin by you, and on the back of that, we've got a lot of credit, and we're expensively using that credit all the time, because we on the back of this two Buta Mikdash, which asked the Bein Shalom to bring down from Shemayim, the third one. So this is the choiv of Mashkin Shenis Mashkin. But that's just a thought I saw. But Mashkin Mishkan, the first one, is Begimatria 410. You wanted numbers, right? Mem, Shi, and Chof Nin is 410. That's the first Mishkan. Ha Mishkan is 415. So you might ask me a very good question. But the second base Mikdash was 420. So they say Mitten Koil. You know the Mitten Koil?
Five letters.
Ha Mishkan. Hey, Mem, Shin, Chof Nien is Begematria 420, which is the duration of the second base Mikdash. Look, the Alik Chasam Sefer is very sweet. The first one works beautifully. But the second one is as a Ziegestick of it, as they say in Yiddish. So the Chasam Sefer says nothing is Ziegestick of it. It's a Moirodike Gematria. The reason for the second one having only a coil with a five is because the Gemara says in Yima that there were five fundamental things that were missing with Mishkan number two that weren't there with Mishkan number one. There wasn't an Evan Shasiyu, there wasn't the Yirin Batimim. All those things which are listed in the Gemara are five cardinal things which were missing. And therefore, even on the HaMishkan, we get to the number by the extra five, which is Mitten Koil. But then later on, in the Pusik, it speaks about the Vayichtevi Ulov Michtov Petiche Choysom Koidesh Lashem, which is referring to the Tzitz. And there, Koidesh Lashem, the Kasha which was brought down is, why does it say the Lushen of Vayichtevu Lushen Rabbim? When a person who usually does something like this is a singular person who is writing, why is there Lushen Rabbim? So, there again we refer to the Gemur in Yime. This time it's in Lamed Ches. But Bais refers to a family. There were various families which were praised and various families which were deprecated and were actually criticized because they didn't hand over certain skills to the next generation, which were one of those families, was called Ben Kamtzar. Now, Ben Kamtzar had an exceptional remarkable skill of having the ability to write with four fingers, Yid Kai Vuv Kai, simultaneously. Now that means that parts of the brain are working through four fingers in separate times. One is writing a yid, the second finger is writing a vuv, and the third is writing yid kai, vuv kai, and all at one time, so that the Shem Hashem was completed together. And because he didn't hand over this skill, or he did, I think Shafi was the positives or the negatives, but the Masa is, Kash is, what's the big betzia? It's very sweet. It sounds absolutely astounding how a person can do something like this. But there must be some tachlis in it. So there's three answers given. The first answer was, as the Gemur brings in Sechta Sofrim, that one must never be mafsik when one writes the Ksivas Hashem. And it's important to complete it in one go as fast as you can. So even in the normal way of writing it, when a sofer would write Yitke, he would never stop in the middle to go and have a coffee before he finishes the last two. Whereas if he wrote Bereishis Buru and he stops in the middle of Bereishis, this is Chagoyis Avle. So therefore, he did it in one go, so he completed the Shem in one go in a hiddah, that it was absolutely completed. Second one was a Tosef Siontif, also in Yima. Tosef Siontif says that there was never a time where the Shem was Chusa. You didn't have a place, a moment where the Shem Hashem was missing any. Because if four fingers wrote the letters simultaneously, that means that there was never a moment that there was a chesugun, so to speak, a void in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the third answer, which is I heard from the Baisa school myself, was I remember that Zoycha to hear, but I saw it quoted from the Minchas Chinuch. And Minchas Chinuch says a moiridike vort. When you write Yid Kei Vuv Kei, there's a sequence. So you write Yid, Hai, but once you've written the Yid and the Kei, you've formulated the Shem Hashem, because Ko is one of the Ribbono Shel Olam's name. Now when you add a Vuv to that, so you are retrospectively destroying the first Shem by having added the third letter. And it's only when you complete it with the last Hey that you are formulating a complete integrated Shem Hashem. But now Ben Kamtza came and he wrote the complete Shem Hashem with four fingers simultaneously. There was never a time where the Vuv retrospectively voided the Shem Hashem backwards. So Memaile, he had this kins, this chokhmah, this skill, which was to write the Shem Hashem with four fingers together, that the Yid Kei Vuv Kei was written in one go, and therefore there was no chesurun in that. Since we've got a couple of minutes left, so then I'll just add to you one thing, because the conclusion of in the Rebbe Tukenhaft was all the Megillah, so I'll saw you, tell you a thought I saw from the Vilna Gaon in his Perish on the Megillah, which is one drop in the ocean of many. But he said that it says there that once the decision to kill Vashti, although it doesn't say anywhere in the Megillah that she was killed, was enacted, that it says Vayitav Haduvo Ba'enei HaMelech Ve'enei Surov Avudov, and therefore there was something which was found favor in their eyes, so to speak, that they were very pleased with the outcome of this edict that they were going to, that she was actually decapitated, according to one Gemara. But when she was killed, this was something they were very happy about. Now, why would the Pusik mention that they were very favorable about it? It's very important to know that they were so happy about this decision. Why does the Megillah mention something which could be viewed as rhetorical? So the Vilna Gaon says as this. Both of these people that are mentioned here, one is the Melech, and one is the Avudov. The Avudov is referring, and the Surov. The Surov is referring to Haman, because it was Memuchan in the first place that came up with this brilliant idea of killing the queen. Why he had this cheshbon is gag al gag in a political scheme, which I haven't got the time right now. But let it be just say that Memuchan is the one that instigated the idea. He was the one that told Haman, Haman told Achashverosh, this is a decision you'll have to take yourself. Because up until then, the jurisdiction was as follows. Things which appertained to state were decided by the king. Things that were private and had to do with the royal family or the internal affairs were decided by the cabinet. And now, at this point, a major change happened. Because Achashverosh was the one who actually was distressed that his wife had humiliated him in such a way. So Memaile, the day immediately after that happened, it says, Achad Memaile Zucha Melech Achashverosh says, Ash is Vashti Vesashi Ususu. He was so sad. Oh, my queen, what happened to her? My beautiful queen, the custis, she was the most beautiful woman in the whole of all 127 countries, and I haven't got her. Hucham, you were the one that told her to be killed. But at that time, he said they were building him up. They were saying to him, "Hey, she humiliated. No, not only you. So therefore, you've got to take this decision. We can't take this decision. It's to do with private matters. So there is a Senate. There is a White House. There's people. There's a protocol. You don't just do things like that." But Haman said, "No. It'll be a comeback afterwards. If I tell him to do it." Then 2 days afterwards, he decides he's missing his queen. Then he'll take me and he'll say, off with his head. Who was the wise guy that had this clever idea of killing the queen? So Memaila Humon said, you know what? Achashverosh is now empowered to make these decisions of life and death. And guess how it backfired on him. And he shot himself in the foot, literally. Because later, when HaMelech HaShvayrish came, and he was enraged about the fact that he found Haman on his wife's bed, and he was Mizel, he was HaMelech HaShem Eloi Liboi Lassus Kain, and they said, Ish Tzav Oev, and he was inflamed, came back, and the story, hang him! And up he went. Well, besides hang him, there's a system here. There's a House of Lords, House of Commons, there's a judicial system. It doesn't go like that. No, but Haman was the one that instigated that. That at that time, when Vashti was, her head was on the chop, he was the one that said, no, the king is now empowered to do this himself. So Memaile, he shot himself in the foot. And as far as Achashverosh was concerned, he had the idea of killing his wife because she humiliated him publicly. And then he went ahead and killed her, although his interests were really not that, because 2 days later, or day later, and he was so sad that his queen is no longer here. Zuk the Heilige Gun, there you've got it. Vayitav haduvo ba'enei ha-melech, iva'enei surov. Both of them, at that moment of time, because leiv meluchim v'surim b'yad Hashem, so the Rebbein Shlolom turned their minds and their feelings towards this direction, that both of them did something which was completely counterproductive and antithetical to their own interests. The king killed the queen who he wanted her back afterwards. The minister Haman went and instigated the power to the king, which made him give a din of life and death in a moment just like this, and both of them did something which was completely opposite to their own intentions, but the Rebbeinu Shloilam, who was governing all this, so wanted it. Chaps.
Thank you.